people who are studying Issa Kupnimit Part 2, Inter Modisil Sfirot, so download them now from the Talmudisil Sfirot index page. And also table of questions and table of topics. Alright, we are reading Issa Kupnimit Part 2, Chapter 5, Item 56. We are repeating actually what we studied yesterday on Shabbat. So this is the Gup Nimit, item 56. The Hamshaha of the Kav began in Bchinat Dalet. That is why there had to be a retaining force on Bchinat Dalet, so that the light, so that the O would not permeate her. Now we will explain about the Masach that was placed over Bchinat Dalet being Malchut. When the Olam Tzimtzum, meaning Malchut and Sof, was closed there, it is known that every degree begins with Malchut Elyon, that becomes her substance. When this restricted Malchut drew the O Elyon over the first three Bchinot once more, this Hamshacha was necessarily done by the yearning in Bchinat Dalet. That is because the first three Bchinot are not vessels of reception at all. Thus, it was necessary for her to first draw the O into all four Bchinot, even to her Bchinat Dalet. However, in order to prevent the O from reaching Bchinat Dalet, she had to draw, to add a new force so as to detain the O from reaching Bchinat Dalet. So, after the Tzimtzum, when Bchinat Dalet has an additional desire called yearning, additional independent desire for that pleasure that she found before, and that Bchinat Dalet drew the O, but did it in her three Bchinots in against that measure of Ishtukikut, that yearning that she had on her own, as an addition to her will to receive, she placed a Masach so that the O would not permeate Bchinat Dalet. So Masach is an additional force on top of the Tzimtzum. According to the measurement of the yearning, the addition of Ratzon and attitude that exists in Bchinat Dalet toward the Matzil, the emanator. That's why we have to say that it's not exactly the same Bchinat Dalet in the same previous three Bchinot. Now it is how the creature relates to what it is. Bchinat Dalet draws the O, detains the O. Bchinat Dalet is the actual kli for reception. There cannot be any other vessel of reception. But now that she relates to her part differently through the yearning, through this new attraction, new attitude, it's called that she doesn't work with her previous Bchinat Dalet, but with the three previous Bchinot, in which she feels the Creator, his attitude, his attributes, in which she expresses her attitude to him, from which she learns what it means to bestow, and how her yearning, meaning the additional desire that came from within her, from Bchinat Dalet, to express by drawing light outside that previous Bchinat Dalet. That's why we say that what happens now is that she draws a kaf, a line. What is the difference between what she drew before and what she draws now, the kaf, the line? That now, after the tzimtzum, the restriction, she works only with her amount of yearning. Which is really to resemble the upper three. That's why receiving the O in the upper three is called Kav, as opposed to receiving the O in Bchinat Dalet, which is called Ein Sof. No Gvul, no limit. Yes. What is the difference between Amshacha and detainment? It's, once it's a Masach, once it's a Tzimtzum. What's your question? What's the difference between Amshacha and detainment? Amshacha is Amshacha, detainment is detainment. Either I draw or I detain. Isn't it? There is no difference. I don't use the vessels of Bchinat Dalet, but only the vessels of the upper three in both Hamshacha and detainment. In Hamshacha, I use Bchinat Dalet. Otherwise, nothing draws. Just read what we just read. There's no one else to draw but Bchinat Dalet. Read it again, and you'll see. Hamshacha of the kav began in Bchinat Dalet. That is why there had to be a detaining force on Bchinat Dalet so that the O would not permeate it. 56. Now we'll explain about the masach that was placed over Bchinat Dalet being Malchut. When the Olam Tzimtzum, meaning Malchut and Sof, was clothed there, it is known that every degree begins with the Malchut Elyon that becomes her substance. When this restricted Malchut drew the O Elyon over the first three Bchinot once more, but who drew the restricted Malchut? This Amshacha was necessary. Yes, over the three Bchinot. This is called Kav, the entrance of the Kav. This Amshacha was necessarily done by the yearning in Bchinat Dalet. Why necessary? That is because the first three Bchinot are not at all vessels of reception. So Amshacha in three Bchinot is called Amshacha by yearning. Therefore, it is necessary that she drew, she first drew the O into all her Bchinot, all four Bchinot, even to her Bchinat Dalet. However, in order to prevent the O from reaching Bchinat Dalet when she wants to draw it as Kaf specifically, she had to add a new force so as to detain the O from reaching Bchinat Dalet. That's what it does, so that it doesn't expand into Bchinat Dalet. Now that's called a Masach. So Bchinat Dalet extends over her entire Kli, including Bchinat Dalet, and only afterwards detains so as to keep it only in three Bchinot. This work is called the work of the Masach, with the power of the hishtagakut, the yearning. What? Where does she get the strength to add the masach? She gets it from her decision, from her state in itself with the Shemot, the light that fills it, filled her with the picture of the host, the creator that appeared in her, the force of shame and the desire to equalize with the creator, all these things that remained in her after the tzimtzum made her decide that she should work only according to the level of her hishtavut tzura, equivalence of form with the creator, the host. That's why it is expressed this way. So this is only a sum total. You're asking what hishtagakut is. I'm asking what adding a new force means. It is what happened to her, what she have to do in order to limit the hitpashtut, the expansion from Ensof to Kaf, by which she expresses her desire to resemble. There's a lot we can add here. Here in the force of detainment, you have detainment over Bchinat Dalet, and at the same time the design, the molding of the Ol as it expands in the three Bchinat. We'll learn it as we go on. Malchut returned to the same act of Amshacha as she had in Ensof. It's called returning, repeating the same act. But this act is called activating the will to receive. But here, now, in the activation of the will to receive, there's a difference between activating herself and Ensof and here, because now she uses a different intention. There's an additional intention. That's the difference between Malchut. Above and before the Tzimtzum, even above the Tzimtzum, after the Tzimtzum, Malchut works like will to receive, and she draws O, and you can't receive O anywhere but in Malchut. There's no such thing as the first three Bchinot. There are no verses of reception there. It's all in Malchut. But the reception of Malchut now, in accordance with the upper nine and the former three, is called that she receives there. And when we say returning, it means she once more receives, but now with an additional intent. So she repeated the same act of Hamshacha. Yes, please. I do not want to talk to you with geometrical images that you draw. You draw them and then you ask according to the drawing. Describe it in a qualitative way, not in a geometrical way. And then you'll see that there's no question. The drawing of the oath is processed through the masach. It's not just, of course, the drawing of the oath for the former three b'chinot is still reception of the oath in b'chinat dalet, but it is in a way, in a form of bestowal, like it is in the three former b'chinot, because before b'chinat dalet it is the form of the giver, and now she receives in the first three b'chinot, meaning what? To the extent that she can equalize with the giver she receives. This is called kav. line. So what's this kav built of? The actual three prinot or malchut? Of course, for malchut. If it were for malchut, there wouldn't be anyone to speak of. But the way she operates, it's called the first three prinot. Go on. Continuing, item 57. The detaining force that was placed on Prina Dalet is called Masach. That new force that she added is called Masach. This Masach is a fundamental factor in the Hamshecha of the Ode the Kav on the three Prinot. It is so because the tzimtzum she performed, meaning the removal of her ratzon from receiving in Prina Dalet, was enough only to remove the Olyon from her. However, afterwards she drew the Or once more and was forced to reawaken her Prina Dalet in order to draw the new Hamshecha. Thus, if she had not made that new force toward the Hitpashtut of O, the O would not reach Prina Dalet once again. Thus, the primary element in the Hamshecha of the O Kav on the three Prinot is the force of the Masach exclusively, which she has made once more with regards to the O. You must understand these two Prinot thoroughly, namely the Tzimtzum and the Masach. Prinot in this case means features, for they are the foundations for the rest of this entire wisdom. Again, 2057. The detaining force that was placed on Prina Dalet is called Masach. 57. This new force that she added is called Masach. The first three prinot can't add to themselves. They're not vessels of perception. So this is called Masach. So Masach is the force that is now added in Prina Dalet. This Masach, this force, is the fundamental factor in the Hamshecha of the Ode Kav, but how? Over the first three Prinot. It is so because the Tzimtzum she performed, meaning when she removed her Ratzon from receiving Prina Dalet inside Prina Dalet, was enough only to remove the Ode Kav from her. So it's only to restrict herself, but to receive in order to bestow, to extend, to draw like in the first three prinot. However, afterwards she drew the O once more without breaking the tzimtzum. Tzimtzum remains and was forced to reawaken her prinot in order to draw the new Hamshecha. Thus, if she had not made that new force toward that Hitpashtut of O, the O would reach Prina Dalet once again. So she has to add more to the detainment when she draws and detains. The more she draws, she has to add detainment. That's the primary element in the Hamshecha of the O Kav on the three prinot, is only the force of the Masach, which she has made once more with regards to the O. You must understand these two prinot thoroughly, namely the Tzimtzum, which is the detainment of the light from reaching inside the desire, the Ratzon, and the Masach, which is the additional force which both draws and detains. For they are the fundamentals of the rest of this entire wisdom. This is the entire foundation of Kabbalah, how to receive. So the Masach causes Hamshacha. Before there is a Masach, you cannot talk about Hamshacha Avot. Yes. So the Masach is like a combination of the attributes of the Creator and the creature? It's unclear. We learn that the Masach comes only from the Kli. I don't know what you mean by combination. Of course, what the Kli does other than Pnei Dalet comes by the operation of the Creator, the Yo. It's true, but we're talking about operations from where they come from, where they are started. That only comes with from the Kli. You might say yes, but for the Kli to want additional Shefa or Dvikut or Masach and force of attainment, for that we have to have the acts of the Creator, and for this Kli to really be impressed. And yes, of course, impressed with the O. Yes, but so what? Yes. The O that is drawn in the first three prinot is not the same O that was drawn in Insof. It is an O that is drawn by the decision of the Masach. It's as though the Kli is overturned. Am I understanding this correctly? The quantity of the O that is drawn to the Masach is not the same as you're trying to say this, perhaps. What's the difference between the O that filled the three prinot and the one that now fills the three prinot? In the first three prinot, Prinat Dalet fills the attitude of the Creator to her. Prinat Dalet herself felt pleasure from how the Creator treated her. Now, in the first three prinot, Prinat Dalet expresses her attitude to the Creator. And in Prinat Dalet, when she receives, when she feels pleasure from giving to the Creator. Therefore, she has the image of the Creator in the first three prinot, and pleasure from being in this influence. This is called Naran Chai. What's the difference between the Aorot that now fill the Kli, that the creature, as opposed to the lights that filled it before? The difference is that now the creature begins to feel additional bestowal by the through the pleasure that it feels. And then this sensation that I do not enjoy myself but can delight the Creator, that addition is Naran Chai as opposed to Nefesh. Because it comes as a recognition of the greatness of the Ma'atzir as opposed to the Netzach. Importance. According to the measure of the importance, well, the O is felt, is multiplied, the sensation of the O is multiplied by the sensation of the importance. Where is this addition felt? This addition is felt in additional kelim that exist in the Netzal, in the emanated being, as opposed to the former kelim, because now the new kelim, or kelim dashba, kelim of attitude, approach, or attitude to the Creator, when they are added to the previous vessels of reception, they make the previous vessels of reception become greater. And that's where the Naran Chai is felt. Yes. Yes. How can kelim that the creature develops, these are not developed by the creature. I'm sorry, I said that misleads. The creature cannot develop kelim. They are kelim that are developed by the sensation of the matzir. Malchut acquires the upper nine, and they become like means for her. They are added to Malchut. That's why it's called that they extend through Kav in the upper nine, not in Malchut, because Malchut uses them. She doesn't want to use her own will to receive. She wants the will to receive to serve the upper nine. So you might ask this. So the O, the Kav, is a lot greater, a lot stronger than O and Sof that existed before. Of course, the sensation in O, the Kav, to that part of the corrected Kli, is much more than it is in Malchut and Sof before the Tzimtzum. A lot more. Yes. Yaniv, is Ol Nefesh in the new Malchut different than Ol Nefesh in the previous Malchut? Ol Nefesh in the previous Malchut is called Nefesh because it filled her without any intensification that came from her side. That's why it's called Nefesh. It's called Nefesha, being or stillness. Whereas the current Nefesh, that's a part of the Nefesh, even Nefesh, the Nachan Chai, comes from the awakening of Malchut herself, so it's much greater than the entire Nefesh that existed before, entire O that existed before. What we are now saying about the expansion from below upwards, now Malchut has no free choice, no decisions made on her own voluntarily. They are all obligatory, coming from above downward by Rishimot that precede and preparations that proceed, and the entire concatenation from above downward is done compulsively by way of cause and consequence, where there is no act anywhere here that depends on any decision made by the Kli, but there is a concatenation of Ein Sof, a diminution of Ein Sof, and that's it. Gilad, I understand the fundamental difference between Tzimtzum and Masach, but I feel Bar Sulam uses only these two different terms only in order for us to understand it, but they're really one and the same thing. Now that Tzimtzum and the Masach are not the same, how can they be? Tzimtzum is the force that detains. I do not want to use my ego. I'm still an egoist. But now I have found strength to refrain from using my desires. I want sweets. I love sweets. The doctor says it's forbidden, otherwise you're finished. So because he told me that, I'm afraid I detain my desire. I want it, but I don't eat it. Is that called being righteous? No? In order to make a tzimtzum, you don't have to be righteous. You have to be afraid. You need the recognition of evil. That my will to receive is bad for me. There's a difference in the tzimtzum between from above down, from below upward, but it is in order to emphasize that Masach is something completely different. Masach is only for bestowal. Tzimtzum aims against my ego. Masach aims at the force of bestowal that is now created in me, that is now begotten in me. It's something completely different. It's a completely different direction. Either inwardly, either I restrict myself for any reason, holy or not. But Masach is completely bestowed to the Creator without any reference for myself, where the creature is completely uses the will to receive in a completely different, opposite way.
And
you seem to ask on a solid basis, but I don't see that basis. It's interesting that your questions are like that. So what do you mean so? Tell me where you are beginning from. You answered him about the Tzimtzum. He said Tzimtzum comes from fear. Oh, all right, now I understand it. Tzimtzum comes from the sensation of shame. I feel bad because I'm not like the Creator. It's bad for me, yes, it's recognition of evil. Malchut Ein Sof was his one and his name one. And there the Tzimtzum was because of the recognition of the greatness of the Creator. In us, the Tzimtzum comes from the recognition of evil because I feel that my own will to receive is bad for me. There it comes from the recognition of the greatness of the Ma'atzil and my oppositeness from him. We don't have a Ma'atzil, he's concealed. So it's only from the recognition of the Kli itself that it's bad for me to use my Kli to receive the all this way. Pleasure. It's a different reason. The Tzimtzum of Malchut Ein Sof and my own Tzimtzum. And the Masach in Malchut Ein Sof comes from a different reason. And in me it comes from a different reason. But it's not like the Tzimtzum anymore. Because after the Tzimtzum, I can already perceive the spiritual idea from below upward in a way that is independent of the will to receive. I see that the will to receive is against me. So what do? So now I can somehow find the giver, his height, his nobleness, and I can be impressed with him and want that form. So now I slowly come to that Kabbalah. Ibu, Yinikam, Mukhin. There are many phases for it. In Ein Sof, the giver was appeared in its entire level. And the owner appears in its highest level and says, I'm the owner, I want you to enjoy this. For you, you receive and I give. If you receive, I enjoy. It is a different thing. It's the appearance of the image of the giver in their entire kli, that Malchut, along with the pleasure that appears in it, feels he who pleases her. And from that she gets the strength to restrict herself. And once she restricts herself, she can begin to think about the giver himself. She is no longer bribed by the pleasures that she had before. She refrained from them, she abstained herself from them, she detained them. That light of pleasure left even the former three prinot, and what remains is only the image of the host. That was not restricted. They restricted over the pleasure, because that causes shame, not the host. She can't restrict the host. So from the recognition of the host, where I'm not influenced by the pleasure, he is being addicted to him, I begin to feel how great he is, how spiritual, eternal, complete he is. And this begins to work on me. It causes an addition in me. Addition of what? I'm willing to extend for you, but only so that I resemble you. So the desire to resemble you back, to give you back, is a desire that now determines the hamshacha. This is the addition. And it's expressed in the masach. It's not the same for us, from below upwards. The image of the giver must also appear, but not as it does in Malchut Ein Sof. The way it appeared there is enough for Malchut to perform all the levels of diminution down to this world. It's a detachment from godliness, from Shefa, from the perfection in eternity. She's willing to come down even to this world in order to begin from here to be corrected. This power of recognition of Matzil that she has. But again, if she had restricted herself, she wouldn't have been able to show the property of the giver, because if the former of the giver appears, it gives me shame and I want to get rid of it. When I get rid of it, I don't hate you anymore. Yes, I don't hate anything because I don't have pain anymore. Now I can objectively, in a neutral manner, see who is before me when I have no self-interest in that. You said that it seems something different, but we need the recognition of the greatness, and against that opposite, that we should have the recognition of evil. So what's the difference between the Tzimtzum from above, downward, below, upwards? We'll talk about it. We're drawing too far. I don't want to talk about from below upwards. This is too much of our work. Another at least one. It's a different study than yesterday. But how? Maybe it's more simple. It's as though yesterday was a preparation. See, if you study 100 times and 101, it's not the same. Maybe. Item 58. The Tzimtzum was mindful. The Mosach pushes the O by the power of authority, was not mindful. You must understand the difference between the Tzimtzum that Malchut Ein Sof performed, being the voluntary departure from the great will to receive, and her choice in Hishtavut Tzua with the Matzil. And the Masach, which is the detaining force and the authority and the compelling force that prevents the O from reaching Kina Dalit. Go on. 59. Should always finish the topic. He divides it into two items, okay. 59. The reason for it is that although both the Tzimtzum and the Masach were performed by Malchut Ein Sof, you already know that when a spiritual entity acquires a new additional tzura, it is then regarded as two spiritual entities and two prinot that are as far apart from one another as a measure of their shinui tzura. Just as corporal objects become separated from one another by an axe and are distanced from each other by space and area, So are the spiritual worlds discriminated by the Chidush Tzua. They are as far apart from each other as is the Shinui Tzua between them, whether more or less. The Tzimtzum was mindful. The Masach that pushes the O by the power of authority was not mindful, meaning according to the law. You must understand the difference, this is 58, between the Tzimtzum that Malchut Ein Sof performed, being the voluntary departure from the great will to receive, and her choice of Hishtavut Tzua with a Matzit. So, to begin with, that was the decision. It's very hard to understand. Was this out of shame, the sensation of necessity, inferiority, sensation of flaw, blemish, or the Hishtavut Tzua with the Creator as it arises here? How do we organize these things? We should see. So the reason for the Tzimtzum is not to get rid of the shame. She's seemingly willing to tolerate the shame, but beyond it, she wants Hishtavut Tzua. So to begin with, in the Tzimtzum, there is a decision that she will reach Hishtavut Tzua. We say that the act should be only with connection to itself. The Kli cannot feel a sequence of acts. Each act is complete. Everything should be in it from beginning to end according to the Rishimot that appear. And you don't find the entire chain of Rishimot and the Kli chooses this first and that next. All her operations are discrete, discrete. And what he writes here is, seems to be different. So he says that Tzimtzum is voluntary. Perhaps she didn't have to perform a Tzimtzum, so maybe the Tzimtzum, the shame wouldn't automatically compel her to do that. But she decided afterwards if she wants to do it or what she wants to do it for, either get rid of the shame or reach equivalence of form. And her choice in equivalence of form with the Matzil. And the Masach. What is the Masach? Which is the retaining force and the authority and the compelling force that prevents the O. So the Masach works compellingly. It's not like there's a thought or calculations. Is that how it is? I don't understand this. To prevent the O from reaching Bchinat Dalet. So does the Masach only detain compellingly, forcefully, coercively? Let's see what's written next. The reason for it, 59, is that although both the Tzimtzum and the Masach were performed by Malchut Ein Sof, you already know that when a spiritual entity acquires a new additional Tzura, it is then regarded as two spiritual entities, the previous and the current, and two Bchinot that are as far apart from one another as the measure of their Shinui Tzua. Just as corporal objects become separated from one another by an axe and are distanced from each other by space and area, so are spiritual discriminated by the Chidush Tzua. They are as far apart from each other as the Shinui Tzua between them, whether more or less. In the meantime, he hasn't answered anything in 58 that he asked in 58. 59 doesn't offer an answer, it just determines what far and close and near mean in spirituality. In spirituality is by Shinui Tzua, and corporeality it is by distance. Okay? Not answering. I wanted to stress to stress the problem, to emphasize it. That's it. Okay, that'll be it for today. These things are not as we are used to think about.